Okay, we live in interesting, perverted, perverse, demented, depraved times. Yesterday, Virginia Flaggers had a big rally in Lexington, Virginia. And if you know, you know both General Jackson and General Lee are buried there. Historically in Virginia until 2020, and I think 2020 was the last time they observed Lee Jackson Day, on the Friday before that reprobates holiday. They used to be either way, I think they divided it, so, but that didn't satisfy them either. You know, compromising with these people never. So, the Virginia Flaggers, they had a big turnout. I saw pictures. They wanted to honor these Christian gentlemen. And they had their parade permits and all. And hours before the parade was supposed to start, the city canceled the parade permit and said, well, our police got to prepare for the storm that's coming. So they found some excuse. That storm hadn't come yet, but I don't know what police have to do to prepare for a storm that's coming. I don't think they drive the snow trucks, but whatever. But they went on with their parade. They evidently didn't. They marched down the sidewalks, and had very good reaction, evidently, from the local populace. And this country wants to forget men like Lee and Jackson. And remember folks like the reprobate Reverend Martin Luther King. His name's a lie. His name never was Martin Luther. Not legally. It was Michael, just like his dad's. That should tell us something to begin with. It's an embarrassment. And Brother Howe's talking about, you know, what this country's come to and whatever. And I understand what he's saying, but the only thing that gives me sanity anymore, I was talking to Reagan as we were going to the range about the Supreme Court decisions that came down about the jabs and stuff. This is for me to, you know what? It ain't my rodeo. It ain't my clowns. It ain't my country. It ain't my flag. And yeah, I understand. God's providence is where we are, and those people have the power, they've got the guns, and they've got the prisons. They still can't make me embrace the striped rag and celebrate this as my country. There was a time I did, and maybe it's a time, at least to some degree of conscience, I could, but that time has long passed. So this embarrassment that is coming, and I don't know if I'll get to it, and I'll just mention it. It'll be in next week's paper. I read an article by a very sincere black man, and he talked about the failures of Martin Luther King. And he started out talking about the moral failures, which we'll focus on some today. But then he just talked about what he did to the black man by making him think of himself as a victim and to think of himself as underprivileged and needing help and whatever, that he failed. And listen, now it's spread over. It's not just the black community. The whole country's celebrating Martin Luther King Day on a Monday. That tells you the mess the country's in. They honor someone like that. Now we'll talk a little more details. You've heard most of these before. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, verses that become more and more applicable to this land every day. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. King was born on January 15th in 1929. I'm going to hit the highlights, or maybe I should say the lowlights. I don't want to spend the whole day dwelling on him. I've dealt with some of them before, and maybe we will again in some detail. In spite of the corruption and problems and whatever with the FBI, they compiled a file on him that set forth the facts. And you don't need to go to the FBI. One of his very closest associates, friend, a fellow reverend, Mr. Abernathy, has publicly related that King spent his last night on earth with a white prostitute, whom, as was his custom, he beat. And this is the man they now want to honor. A man, according to his own associates, was a philanderer and a whoremonger. And if folks talk about King being in heaven, they don't understand this book. Yeah, that was his last night on earth, but he didn't go to heaven. He rejected every tenet of the Christian faith, and yet presumed to call himself a reverend. He didn't honor his marital vows. And I've written a blog, and I've talked to you before about when I was in the Marine Corps, which, you know, was never the paragon of virtue and morality. But when I was at basic school, and when we were finishing up basic school, Colonel Smith spoke to all of us young lieutenants. And he said, "Why should I trust you to honor your vow as a officer of Marines if you don't honor your vow to your wife?" You know, folks like Bill Clinton and Donald Trump and those sort of folks that are so highly applauded and lauded that we expected them to honor the oath they took to the Constitution, but they couldn't honor the vow they took to their wife. Colonel Smith was probably the last of that breed. I don't know. I got to Okinawa a couple years later, I guess, and I was first lieutenant. I'd been promoted from second lieutenant to first lieutenant. Colonel Smith was there as a two-star general. He'd been a colonel, so he moved along, and he was commanding the division, and I was privileged to work for him at leadership schools. And that thing, that always, you know, sat on my mind. And even more so as the years go on. And then we compare that to what's going to be honored in this country tomorrow. And again, I'm going to tell folks, you cannot fault King and exalt Donald Trump. People don't want to hear that. Say, it's okay to talk about your leftist enemies, but you better not address those folks that are supposed to be on the right. Well, I just want to be on the side of the Lord. And left and right, you know, are two wings of the same bird of prey. And we're the victim. And the absolute hypocrisy of some Christians astounds me. Listen, I'm not perfect, but I'm just shocked. You know, white Southern Christians worship a man like Donald Trump. And today they all bow at the throne of Martin Luther King. I was reading something recently. I didn't read all the details of it. I have to go back and look at it. Somebody was talking about how Ron Paul even said something about positive about King, which breaks my heart. But if he did, folks feel like they got to fall in line. They got to, you know, this is what we're doing now. Yeah, well, you do what you're doing. I'm not going to be a part of it. Besides being a philanderer and a whoremonger, he was a lying thief, and he was a plagiarizer. His doctoral thesis was proven plagiarism. Besides that, it wasn't anything to be proud of. It was rank heresy. There's never anything on record that he ever embraced any of the true fundamentals of the Christian faith, ever. His famous "I Have a Dream" speech was plagiarized from a speech that was given at the 1952 GOP convention by Archibald Carey Jr., a black pastor and a Republican from the south side of Chicago. King attended communist training schools, associated with and was advised by and employed known communists. It's a fact. It's something that someone who was sympathetic with him, the then Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy, warned King about and told him, you can't do this, you need to get rid of those people. And King claimed, pretended to comply, but he secretly kept these people in his employ. If he was not himself a communist, he was certainly a communist dupe and sympathizer. And what difference does that make then? He was a false prophet, as I said, Brother Thomas Ray Floyd alluded to in a recent article he wrote. He proclaimed this dream that he supposedly had, which evidently he had to even plagiarize that. He had a dream, but he denied the fundamentals of the Christian faith. That should make a difference to folks. It should make a difference to folks whether you're white or whether you're black. I mean, it saddens me when I see these black folk all lauding King and, you know, what a great example, what a great Christian he was. What are you doing to your children, lady? By holding up a man like this. But he had his dream. Scriptures talk about folks that have dreams like that. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 23 and verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. As the religious world is full of people like that. And they'll say, God said this, God told me this. If you can't show me it in there, don't tell me God told you that. God may be leading you in the direction you think that he's guiding you, but God didn't tell you anything that's not in this book. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord. They use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. The king had a dream. I don't have to go into all his specific writings, but if you go into his own writings, he's like the modern liberal clergy. They're not Christians, but they claim to be. They want to be perceived as such. He denied the sonship of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ was literally the Son of God. He denied that. He denied the virgin birth. Prophesied in Scripture, fulfilled in the New Testament. He denied that. He denied the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. I sat in cemetery classrooms and would have professors tell me, you know, they would speak, and we had a book that was, you know, one of the books we to read was called The Myth of the Resurrection. And I would take these guys on, and he'd say, that shouldn't upset you. It says, a myth, I'm not saying it's not bad, true or not. A myth is not true or false. It's either effective or ineffective. So that's why he rationalized this in his head. And he says, the concept, the idea of resurrection is central to my faith. Well, you better read Paul. If the literal bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is not central to your faith, you got some big problems. Paul said he'd be miserable of all men if that were the case. But he says, but then he goes on to say, but Christ hath risen from the dead. He denied God's supernatural and sovereign plan of salvation. And tomorrow, America honors this Right Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And as we've said this morning already, there's only one who is called Reverend in Scripture. That really bothers me when somebody does that. It really does when they do that. They just assume they ought to call you Reverend. Well, there's only one in Scripture, and it ain't me. I'm going to tell you something else. It ain't Martin Luther King. Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name. Shame on America. There's much, much more I could say in details, but I'll let that suffice for now. America is indeed guilty of calling evil good, and of calling good evil. And that's why I'm not ashamed to say it ain't my flag and it ain't my country. That's the only way I can maintain my sanity in the midst of this anymore. On the other hand, this coming Wednesday is the birthday of General Robert E. Lee, who was born on January the 19th, 1807. General Lee was a genuine Christian gentleman. Folks try to sling mud at him, particularly today, but none of it sticks. He wasn't a perfect man. He wasn't a man without sin. But of any man I've ever read after or know, he was probably the finest exemplar of Christian manhood to walk American soil. I keep this plaque on my wall. I've referred to it before. You've all heard it before, but the historian James I. Robertson, R. I. Robertson Jr., wrote, "In the pantheon of American soldiers, none stands taller than Generals Robert Edward Lee and Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson. They now seem larger than life When considering Lee and Jackson, eyes seem to lift, so does the mind. The very words these men used, gentlemen, duty, valor, honor, have a quaint sound in these times because they have become unfamiliar terms. People who say that Lee and Jackson did not really exist make that statement because no one like them exists now. Shame on us. Scriptures tell us to remember these sort of things, to reflect on these sort of things. That's why we do Confederate Memorial Day. Paul says, think on these things. Honor, just valor, manliness, and honor. Just a couple thoughts in passing. Actually, I'm going to have a couple things to say about Lee. We'll get back to Galatians because they relate to some of the things we're saying. But anyway, when General Lee was informed that the chaplains prayed for him, tears started to rise in his eyes. And he replied, "I sincerely thank you for that. And I can only say that I am a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone, and that I need all the prayers you can offer for me." You can't have a greater testimony than that, that I am a poor sinner, trusting in Christ alone. As Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I believe that God brings all of his children to that state to see that. More and more so as life goes on. Again, as Paul said, 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. General Lee said, "My chief concern is to try to be a humble, earnest Christian." His chief concern. This man that was the head of all the Confederate armies, advisor to the president. He said, "My chief concern is to be a humble, earnest Christian." Well, you know, we hear our military leaders say that all the time today. Well, yeah, maybe not. I think not. I've never even heard anything approaching that. Contrasting Mr. King, Bobby Lee had a very high opinion of the Word of God. And we have that one picture up there, and a 5-year-old gave him a Bible during the war. He said, "You couldn't have given me a better gift." Lee said, quote, "The Bible is a book in comparison with which all others are of minor importance, and which, in all my perplexities and distresses, has never failed to give me light and strength." The burden of leading the armies of an invaded country. Some victories, some defeats, some setbacks. And General Lee, in the midst of that, could say, quote again, "At present, I am not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. And I'm quite contented that His designs should be accomplished and not mine." He trusted in God. He wanted God's will. He didn't always know what it was. Just on a footnote, something came to mind. I've known missionaries and preachers who have been, you could say, relieved of duty because they didn't show results. You know, folks want names and numbers. They want. Statistics. Ephesians 1, verse 11, Paul tells us, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." One of the stories, and there's many, that helps me to see, to comprehend Lee's genuine humility. And most of you that, you know, all of you I suppose know, during the war, he wore 3 stars. Now, in the American military, the U.S. military, you know, that would have been a lieutenant general. But in the Confederate military, 3 stars was a colonel's rank. There's 3 stars enclosed by a wreath was a general. He never wore that. If any man, if any Confederate had reason to be proud, it would have been General Lee. He was a descendant of a long line of illustrious ancestors. It might have been excusable if he had exhibited a consciousness of that superiority. The very opposite was the case. One day he was asked, "Why is it, General, that you do not wear the full insignia of your rank, but content yourself with the stars of a colonel?" "Oh," replied Lee, "I don't care for display. The truth is that the rank of colonel is about as high as I ought ever to have gotten. And perhaps I might manage a good cavalry brigade if I had the right kind of subordinates." A man of humility that displayed it in his daily life. Didn't tout himself or his position, his name. Didn't take to him titles that didn't belong to him. Wouldn't even embrace those that properly belonged to him. Above all, General Lee was a man of great and undaunted faith in Jesus Christ. We often refer to his order that was written on a fast day proclaimed by General or by President Davis in 1863. We said, "Soldiers, we have sinned against Almighty God. We have forgotten His signal mercies and have cultivated a revengeful, haughty, and boastful spirit." You won't hear preachers say these kind of things. "We have not remembered that the defenders of a just cause should be pure in His eyes, and that our times are in His hands. And we have relied too much on our own arms for the achievement of our independence. God is our only refuge and strength. Let us humble ourselves before Him. Let us confess our many sins and beseech Him to give us a higher courage, a pure patriotism, a more determined will, that He will convert the hearts of our enemies, that He will hasten the time when war with its sorrows and sufferings shall cease, and that He will give us a name and a place among the nations of the earth." And yet, General Lee is increasingly in our time portrayed as some sort of evil traitor. I saw one of the groups I'm in. These people come in where they call them trolls or something. I don't know how it gets in there. And they were talking about Lee and Jackson Day and whatever. And he was just talking about, well, they're dirty, rotten traitors. It was like, now where does this guy come from? And more so will they be considered evil traitors as the empire strengthens and as it brooks no opposition. And you and me too. Now, Lee was not a man without sin. He was a man, as he acknowledged, that was a sinner and needed a Savior. But I have to say this, much like Joseph in Scripture, who is, again, not portrayed as sinless, but there's no record of such sins in his life. And I would be hard-pressed to try to point out something like that about General Lee. Increasingly, indeed, America calls good evil and evil good. This is but one example of it, but an important one. Woe unto them again that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them. We can trust God. We can trust His designs for His people. As General Lee said, I'm not concerned with results. God's will ought to be our aim. I'm contented that His design should be accomplished, and not mine. In the light of what Paul tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We need not be worried about the results. As General Jackson would say, duty is ours and consequences are God's. Just do your duty. Do what's right. And trust God. I believe that unless God is pleased to raise up men like General Lee and General Jackson, we're finished, humanly speaking. But we can trust in God. God has a rest for His people. Not for the rest of the world, but for His people. And I know this. The sort, like Martin Luther King, Donald J. Trump, Biden, they're throwing some of them women too, you know. They want equal rights, so we'll throw in Kamala Harris. All those. Miss Clinton. They won't do. They won't do. Our trust is in the sovereign God, but God help this country. And again, God help that, like that black man was. God help. I'd like to see the black man come along. I'd like to see him come along with us. I would like to see my people come along with us. I don't see it happening. Because this very kind of depravity that's going to be promoted tomorrow continues to be promoted. But I am all for Brother Hal getting a day off tomorrow. I used to take my days off too. I didn't have any choice really, but take my days off. Had a couple days off when I was in the field in basic school. I think two presidents happened to die at the right time, not all on the same day, but it got me off 2 days of work, and they even brought us in from the field. I'm rambling, but The point is, we can't trust in men. We cannot trust this country, and it's already proven every day, by its actions, by its deeds, by its worth, that it's not worthy of honor. And I pray the Lord might, by His grace, allow us to stand, if we stand alone. And if it puts us on every list that the government's got. More importantly, I believe my name is on another list. And it's the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Lord's convinced me, I think has shown me, through His Spirit, that my name's on that book. It'll be revealed in the day. But it was written there from eternity. Mm-hmm. There are no new names written in heaven. The Lord knows His people, and He will bring them all to Himself, and He will reveal Himself to them. And I pray that the Lord might work on our own lives and hearts and give us comfort and rest and peace in Him, and allow us to live obediently and walk in His ways. Let's take our hymnals, turn to page number 370, and we'll stand and sing together. Security. 370. 70. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and privilege to gather, Lord, for Your inerrant, infallible, and preserved Word that we can hold in our hand. Oh, we thank You for the security of Your people, the rest that You give to those that are Yours, not in their own strength, but in Your sovereignty and in Your provisions. Lord, I pray that we might have grace to walk in Your ways, be conformed to the image of Your Son. Lord, we pray for this wicked land that we live in. Humanly speaking, it seems there can be no correction, but only ultimate destruction. But Lord, You know. And we rest in that. And Lord, regardless of what may transpire about us, regardless of whom men may honor and laud, Father, keep us from joining with the multitude to do evil. Lord, we know we can only stand by your grace, even as we're only saved by your grace. Father, we pray for your provision, for your security. Lord, thank you for each one that's here. Be with us as we go our ways. Lord, be with those who be able perhaps to meet with us tomorrow night as well. May you be uplifted and honored in the midst of your people. May you draw us all closer unto thee. Father, we pray for those that need healing, for those that need comfort. Lord, we thank you for that eternal love that was manifested in time. As God became man, bore our sins, suffered our punishments. That he might bring us unto him and unto yourself. And we do pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.